Good morning and welcome to those of you in our radio audience. We appreciate your tuning in and hope that you'll listen for the duration of this program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and divine word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on this program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you would like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer. We've been studying concerning the reasons either why or we believe or why we do not believe. Yesterday, we looked at why we do not believe in premillennialism. Today, we want to look at why we believe baptism must be immersion. You know, it's a very common practice in the religious world to sprinkle or pour for baptism. This may be administered to adults, but it's especially administered to infants. In all of this, we hear discussions about modes of baptism. The idea is that sprinkling, pouring, and immersion are all different modes of baptism. But we must establish a difference. There's a difference between mode and action. Sprinkling, pouring, and immersion are each a different action, not different modes or methods. If we want to talk about different modes of baptism, we might think about the candidate sitting, standing, maybe kneeling when they're being baptized. One could be taken backwards, forwards, or sideways to be baptized. All of these are different modes of the same action, and that is immersion. What I want to do is to consider several reasons why that we believe baptism must be immersion. First of all, baptism in the scriptures is called a burial. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 beginning, Paul wrote, "Or did you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Not only is baptism in these verses called a burial, but notice the parallel that's drawn. Just as Jesus died, was buried, and then raised, we die to sin, are buried in baptism, and then raised to a new life. In fact, the same writer said in Colossians 2 and verse 12, "Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." We find, too, that baptism is a burial, because when we look at the definition of burial, bury means to conceal by, or as if by, covered with earth. To place, that is, a dead body in a grave, a tomb, or the sea. To cover from view. That comes from the American Heritage Dictionary. Thus, if one is baptized, that is, buried in water, he is overwhelmed with water or completely covered with water. So then it is that the word baptism is a burial, and that word means to submerge, to immerse. The word baptism is not a translation in our English Bible, but it is what is called a transliteration. And what that means is that to represent or to spell in the characters of another alphabet. That's from Merriam-Webster's.com. The noun form of the word is baptisma. The verb form is baptizo. When we look at baptisma as it is defined by one of the more noted Greek authorities, W.E. Vine, he says that baptism consisting of the process of immersion, submersion, and emotion is used of John's baptism, of Christian baptism, of the overwhelming afflictions and the judgments to which the Lord voluntarily submitted on the cross, as in Luke 12 and verse 50. It's used of the sufferings that his followers would experience, not of a vicarious character, but in fellowship with the suffering of their master. Some translations have the word in Matthew 20, verses 22 and 23, and it is used in Mark 10, verses 38 and 39, with this meaning. And that's the end of the quote from W.E. Vine. When we look at the word baptizo, which is the verb form, again, W.E. Vine says, and I quote, "to baptize, primarily a frequentative form of bapto or to dip, was used among the Greeks to signify the dyeing of a garment or the drawing of water by dipping a vessel into another." One of the historians used it of the drawing of wine by dipping the cup into the bowl, Plato metamorphically being overwhelmed with questions. So, when we look at these words, we see that they are the idea of immersion or submersion. Looking at these words from another authority in the Greek language, and that is Henry Thayer, Thayer says of baptizo, the verb form, it properly means to dip repeatedly, to immerse, submerge, to cleanse by dipping or submersion, to wash, to make clean with water, as in Luke 11, verse 38, and it's used metamorphically to overwhelm. Strong, another authority on the word baptizo, says it's from a derivative to immerse, submerge, to make overwhelmed, used only in the New Testament of the ceremonial ablution, especially as we find here in the passages. Baptizo, as was defined by Walter Burr in the Greenwich and Danker commentary, says baptizo means to dip, immerse, dip oneself, wash, in non-Christian literature, also to plunge, to sink, to drench, overwhelm. Now that we've seen the definition, which clearly bears out what the Bible teaches about baptism being a burial, let's look at some examples of baptism and see how they show the person going into the water. In Matthew 3 and verse 16, talking about when Jesus was baptized, it says, "When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water." In fact, the King James Version says, "Jesus came up immediately out of the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him." If Jesus came out of the water, then we have to conclude that he went down into the water when he was being baptized. Another example is that both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. We see this in Acts 8 and verse 38. "So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him." Both going down into the water is not necessary for sprinkling. It's not necessary for pouring, but it would be necessary for immersion. John baptized, the Bible tells us, where there was much water. In John 3 and verse 23, "Now John also was baptizing in Anon near Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized." See, much water is not essential for sprinkling, nor would it be essential to have much water for pouring, but much water is essential for immersion. Another example is that crowds came to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. We read this in Matthew 3, 6. We read this in Mark's account in Mark 1 and verse 5. So going out to the Jordan would not be necessary for sprinkling or pouring, but it would be for emotion. And the jailer left the jailhouse in order to be baptized. We read this in Acts 16 and verse 33. Well, sprinkling or pouring could have been performed right there in the jail. So, with emotion, the action is on the person. But with sprinkling and pouring, the action is on the water. Sprinkling and pouring are not synonymous and they're not parallel with emotion. In one, the action is on the person, and in the other, the action is on the water. For example, what is baptized? Well, it's men and women who are baptized, as we see in Acts 8 and verse 12. The action is on the person, not the water. What is sprinkled? It is water that's sprinkled. Sprinkled means to scatter or to disperse in small drops. Water is sprinkled on the person. The person is not sprinkled. The water is sprinkled. What's poured? Well, it is the water that's poured, that is, to cause to flow in a stream. It's poured over the person, but the person is not poured. The water is poured. And what is the direct object? Sprinkling has as its direct object water. Pouring, as its direct object, is water. Emotion or baptism has as its direct object the person. So we need to conclude, we must conclude, that sprinkling or pouring are entirely different from emotion. One reason for practicing sprinkling is that babies are baptized. Let's consider where babies should be baptized at all. Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned." Mark 16:16. When the eunuch wanted to know if he could be baptized, he was told if he believed he could be. In Acts 8, verse 36 and 37. Before the Corinthians were baptized, the Bible says in Acts 18 and verse 8, they heard and believed. And those being baptized are to be penitent. Peter said, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Acts 2:38. Repentance is required on part of the person being baptized. Friends, infants don't fit the Bible pattern for baptism. They have not sinned, Ezekiel 18 tells us. Baptism is for the remission of sin, Acts 2:38. They cannot repent, as they were told to do in Acts 2:38, because they are not capable of repenting. Furthermore, there is no sin in their life of which they need to repent. So they are not capable of formulating faith in their heart. They are not able to look at the evidence and thus have faith. Friends, we see that our time is gone. We appreciate your listening, and we hope that you'll tune in again tomorrow at the same time. And it's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day and return you now back to our announcers.